For those of you that weren't in the service this morning, and we have people out in different ministries, I just want to briefly review what I spoke about this morning. I spoke about New Year's resolutions, and I spoke about how that everybody ought to have some. Everybody ought to have some goals. Everybody ought to have some objectives. You don't have to call them resolutions if you don't want to, but everybody, as we approach a new year and go into a new year, ought to have some things that they want to accomplish. That in their individual lives, in their families, in our church, we ought to have some things we want to accomplish, want to make better, want to improve. And I mentioned this morning that I think that's biblical. I think we're following biblical examples as we do that. And I mentioned some people from the Bible that had goals. Noah had a goal. His goal was to finish the ark. Moses had a goal. His goal was to get the nation of Israel to the promised land. David had, and by the way, both of those goals were given to them by God. God told Noah to build the ark. God told Moses to lead the people to the promised land. And then you had people that, out of their desire to please God, sort of set some goals for themselves that God blessed. David had a goal to build the temple. God didn't tell him to build the temple. David, in an effort to please God, just said, I want to build God a house. And, of course, as I mentioned this morning, David didn't get to do that. God didn't let him. But David got to gather all the materials that Solomon used to build the temple and was blessed by God in that gathering of the materials. Same thing. God didn't tell Nehemiah, I want you to go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. That desire came into Nehemiah's heart, and God blessed it, opened up doors so that he could leave, gave him provision to rebuild the walls, protection. But Nehemiah had a goal. He had an objective to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Jesus had a goal when he came to earth. He said, I come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the will of my Father. And so he had a goal that he set for himself. And of course, I mentioned Paul. He had a goal. He said, I press toward that mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so Paul had a goal. And I mentioned this morning, as we set goals or as we set resolutions, as we approach a new year, and I'm glad that God has given us a way of keeping time so that we have new years. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. And so I'm glad he gives us times when we can assess where we are and look at where we would like to be in a place that would be more pleasing to him and set some goals toward getting toward that place. And I mentioned this morning three things to keep in mind as you do that. Number one, there's areas in everybody's life that need improvement, that could be better to please God. There's areas in your family's lives. There's areas in our church that could be better, that we would please God more if they were improved. And so as you set your goals, you set your objectives, as you make your resolutions, however you want to say it, for 2009, it's a time, the end of the year is a time of assessment. Where are you? Where would you like to be to please God more? And realize that, again, most of our lives, there are areas like that. And then get a vision of where you want to go. We read from the book of Proverbs this morning, where there is no vision, the people perish. And we need to have in mind where we want to go, what we want to accomplish. People that have no vision, people that have no goals, die. And I mentioned this morning, we have a lot of young, older people in this church because they still have things they want to accomplish. They still have places they want to do. They still have things that they want to get done. And it's in striving for those goals and those objectives that keeps them young, that keeps them going. When you get to the point where you don't want to do anything, you have nothing you want to accomplish, nowhere you want to go, nothing that needs to be improved, you better be careful. Because if you don't die, you'll get real depressed. And you always need to have something out in front of you that says, hey, this is where I want to get. And then have a desire to get there. Have a desire to get there. And God gives us that desire. It's a natural desire. that God gives to each one of us. And we need to pray for it and use that desire that he gives us to accomplish those things that he sets before us. And so tonight, I it's not really a second part, but I want to start where I left off this morning. And as I've looked at people in the Bible that have accomplished things for God, I mean, you just look at Noah, and you look at Moses, you look at David, you look at Nehemiah, the people that I mentioned. You see some things in their life and how they went about doing what they did that are principles and truths that we can apply today. And so tonight, I just want to mention six of them. There's probably others that you could come up with that, as you've studied the Bible and thought about people that have accomplished things for God. But these are six that came to my heart, came to my mind. I'm just going to mention them. They're not in any order. I'm not saying that number one is more important than number six. They're just in random order. And so I present them to you tonight, again, as we look forward to 2009. And as we think about what we want to accomplish as a church, as we think about what you want to accomplish in your families, as you think about what you want to accomplish in your individual lives, I would just ask you to think about these truths and put them into your thinking and put them into your action as you go out, as we enter 2009 and accomplish those things that God sets before us. So here we go. Number one, take little steps, not big steps. Take little bites, not big bites. Go for singles instead of home runs. I don't care how you want to say it, but so many times when we set out to do something, we set such lofty goals, and I'm for lofty goals, but we set such lofty goals, and we try to get them all accomplished overnight. It's like somebody that weighs 250 and they want to get down to 200, and I'm not speaking personally, but they weigh 250 and they want to get down to 200 and they want to get it done by the end of January. Now, you know, there's probably people that have lost 50 pounds in a month, but they've been really sick, and you don't want to do it that way. And so what I'm saying is, if you have a goal, instead of looking, you know, instead of trying to take it in one big bite, take it in little steps. I believe that's a biblical principle. I believe we see that in the passage of Scripture that we read from the book of Exodus. The nation of Israel, their goal was to conquer the promised land, is to defeat the people that lived in the promised land. And here's what God said. He said, I'm going to send hornets before you, and they're going to drive out the people. They will drive the people out of the land. But he says, I'm not going to do it all in the same year. In fact, he said this, I will not drive them out in one year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Now, God could have sent the hornets and got everybody out of the promised land day one. I mean, he had the power to do that. He could have done that. But he says, I'm not going to do it because you're not big enough yet to care for the land. And if I drive everybody out, the land will become desolate. I mean, it will be overcome with weeds and bushes and all that other stuff that shouldn't be there. And the animals will overtake it. And so instead of driving them out all at once, I'm going to drive them out little by a little and give you time to multiply, give you time to increase in number so that you can take the land. Again, there's other examples. God, for example, could have spoke the world into existence in seconds. He just could have said, let it be. And everything that God created could have been created in seconds. And yet, he took 6 days to speak it into existence. Again, teaching us that we need to accomplish what we're going to accomplish for him a little bit at a time, not all at once. Noah took over 100 years to build the ark. I don't know if he could have got it done any quicker. He didn't have, you know, Bob, he didn't have the saws and the axes and all that other stuff that we use. He had primitive tools, but he took 100 years. And I believe that God let him take that long because as Noah was building, he was preaching. He was saying the destruction's coming, and this ark that I'm building is going to be the only way to be saved. I'm making room on it for you. And if you'll get on the ark, you'll be saved from the flood. And that's why God had him take so long. I mean, he probably could have got the ark done quicker, but God had him do it a little bit at a time so he could deliver the message of salvation to as many people as possible. That's why Methuselah was the oldest guy that lived, 969 years, because God told Enoch that Methuselah's father, he said, when your son will die, the destruction will come. And God wanted to give everybody a chance to get saved. That's why, you know, I think conditions are ripe. I think Jesus could come back at any time. I mean, everything's done. There's no more prophecy that needs to be fulfilled. And we're closer now than ever to when the time that Jesus is going to come back. But I think God is holding back. He knows the time. Nobody else does. He knows the time. He's holding back so that more people can get saved. He's holding back so the gospel can be preached to more people. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're a recipient of the grace of God, the goodness of God. He's given you a chance to hear that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and to ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need to do that. You need to do it tonight. And so, again, Noah, he took 100 years to build the ark. Nehemiah took 52 days to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Now, again, that's a short time, less than 2 months, 52 days. But he didn't just say, he didn't come in and say, hey, look, we're going to get the walls rebuilt and we're going to do it next week. Maybe they could have. But he didn't take it in one big bite. He took it in little chunks. You can go to Nehemiah chapter 3, and you can see where he assigned different families to rebuild different parts of the wall. And they did it a little bit at a time, brick by brick. And that's how I think, again, I think it's a Bible principle that we will succeed in accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish the same way. A little bit at a time, step by step. Do you remember that Three Stooges episode? I'm going to date myself. Slowly he turned. You remember that? Step by step. You guys, you young people, don't have any idea what I'm talking about. Inch by inch. But that's how it's done. That's how God wants us to do it. A little bit at a time. You become, remember my, Leonard, help me tonight. Stand up over there, would you? Remember my illustration. Here I am. And I want to get over there to where Brother Leonard is. I'm not going to, you know, go back, take a running leap and a running start and make it in one giant leap. Some of you may do that. I can't. I can't jump that far. I'd hurt myself if I tried. But how am I going to get there? I'm going to get there a step at a time. A step at a time. And that's how we get to where God wants us to be in that position that will please him more, a step at a time. Same thing. You know, maybe somebody's setting out in 2009 to be a better husband. And you've got a picture in your mind of where you want to be as a better husband. You won't get there overnight. It comes a step at a time. That's why I put that thing in the bulletin that Reagan, President Reagan said about character. Character is not built in one giant leap. It's built by the decisions that we make every day. One little decision at a time. Another little decision. Another little decision. Another little decision. That's how you build character. You don't build it in one giant leap. And we don't get to where God wants us to be in one giant leap. We do it a step at a time. All right, thank you, sir. Same thing when it comes to our church. I mean, I know the church at Jerusalem had 3,000 souls saved and baptized in one day, on the day of Pentecost. I know there was another day that, I think it's Acts chapter 5 talks about, where there were 5,000 saved and baptized in one day. And they grew those 2 days, 8,000 people. But my experience is most churches don't grow like that. They grow one person at a time. One person, two people, three people at a time. And if we think, you know, we can set a goal and say, well, by the end of the year, we want to have 1,000 people attending our church. Well, You know, that might be a good goal, but do the math. We'd have to have 40 people every week. I mean, God could do it, but, you know, I think what he's going to do instead of 40 people a week, maybe one, maybe two, maybe four a month, maybe four or five a month. And it's a little at a little, I mean, as I read the Bible, it's a little bit at a time. That's the way God works, and that's the way we should approach accomplishing those things that he puts on our hearts and minds to accomplish in 2009. A little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. Okay, number two, track your progress. Keep track of where you are. I mean, you go back and you read the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah knew when the wall was half done. He said, we got it half done. It's half done. I mean, he was keeping track. He knew how when it would be completely done. He had a vision of what it would look like when it was completely done, and he was keeping track against that vision. And he could point out to the people, and I don't know how he did it, maybe called them together one day, say, hey, want everybody to know, we're halfway there. We're halfway done. The walls is joined together, and it's half as high as it needs to be. Haven't got the door set up yet. Haven't got the gate set up yet. But the wall is half as high as it needs to be. You know, it's hard to manage anything that you don't measure. I mean, I could stand up before you tonight and tell you, man, since I've retired, I've lost 60 pounds. Wouldn't be right. But if I hadn't stepped on the scale this morning and know where how much I weigh, I couldn't tell you whether I lost or gained. I mean, I'm having trouble keeping my pants up, and I've had to drill another hole in my belt. And so, I think I'm losing weight. But I can step on a scale, and I can know. And it's the same thing. When you set out to do something, to get in a spot that will please God more, measure your progress. Because, I mean, you just need to know where you are. I think God wants us to know where we are. I mean, if you're going to read the Bible through this year, keep track. And again, I go back to my first point. Don't set out to read the whole Bible in the first week of January. I mean, if that's your goal, you're going to get discouraged. Just decide you're going to read a couple chapters a week or five chapters a day. I mean, get one of those schedules and you can decide. I mean, the one that goes for a year, all I got to do is read a couple, three chapters a day and you can make it through in a year. But keep track of where you are. I mean, know where you are toward reaching that goal. And again, there'll be times, the only way that you know if you're making progress or not is to measure it. I mean, you don't know if you're still going forward or going backwards or standing still unless you measure it, unless you track it. Nehemiah did. He knew we're halfway done. We're making progress. We're almost there. We're halfway more than when we started, however you want to say it. But keep track of what you're setting out to do. Track your progress and make a little progress every day, every week, every month. I mean, that's how you keep moving forward. I won't tell you that because I don't have time. All right, number three, make yourself accountable. Make yourself accountable. Appoint somebody to be your drill sergeant. Appoint, I'm kidding Laura because one day soon she's going to be working for Sierra at the bookstore, and she's going to be accountable. I can't wait till that happens. I'm praying that it happens soon. But make yourself accountable. If you have a goal, all right, say your goal is to read the Bible through, and you want to do it in the first 4 months of the year, then have somebody set up that you hold yourself accountable to, that you report your progress to, that you give them the freedom to say, Sierra, how are you doing in your Bible reading? I'm just making this up, okay? I mean, but she says, Pastor, I want you to help me and hold me accountable for getting through the Bible in the first quarter. And so I would ask her, how are you doing on your Bible reading? And she said, I'm doing pretty good. I wouldn't accept that. I wouldn't say, where are you? And if she told me 3 weeks from now that she's still in the book of Genesis, I would say, you got to pick it up some. You ain't going to make it in 4 months if you're still in the book of Genesis after 3 weeks. I mean, get some, and again, regardless of what your goal is, get somebody that, you know, you get along with, that you like, that can help you keep track of your progress. Appoint some, I mean, if you're not close to your mom, if she lives somewhere else, have somebody be your mother. Appoint, say, hey, I want you to be like my mom. I want you to encourage me. And so when I come to you and say, my goal is to lose 5 pounds this month, and I actually ate so much chocolate that I've gained 5 pounds, I want you to feel sorry for me and encourage me and help me get back on track. And all I'm saying is, and it's a biblical principle, we need to hold ourselves accountable. We're accountable to God. We're going to give an account to God. But in order to make progress, we need to hold ourselves accountable to somebody else that can help us, that can rebuke us in a kind way when we need to be rebuked, that can encourage us when we get discouraged. Because regardless of what you set out to do, there's going to be times where you get discouraged. You go back and read the book of Nehemiah. And there's a verse that says, the bearers of the burdens, or the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Nehemiah 4:10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. There will come times of discouragement. And in fact, that's my next point. Don't get discouraged. Because there will be times where you will not make any progress. There will be times that you will take steps backwards. And if you have made yourself accountable to somebody else, they can help you through those times. They can encourage you through those times. They can rebuke. I mean, there are times when all of us need to be rebuked. I mean, my dad has developed diabetes in his 80s, and my mom, when we were down there Christmas, said, I don't know what's the matter with your father. He's just eating sugar and sugar and sugar and sugar. I tell him it's bad for him, his sugar's going to go up, and he's still doing it. I called her on the way to church this morning. I said, well, is Dad still off the wagon? And she said, yep, he's still eating chocolates. I said, Mom, just give him, let him go through New Year's and then rein him in. Just take it all away. Put it all out in the garbage and hide it from him. And he's taken to hiding his stash so that she can't find it. But, all of us need to be rebuked at times. And not in a harsh way, but we need to be reminded, hey, what you're trying to accomplish is a good thing. You're trying to please God, like we talked about this morning. All these men that had goals in the Bibles, they had goals and they accomplished those goals in an effort to please God. And it's the same way. When we set out to do something, it ought to be something that will please God. And we need to be, at times, rebuked because for some reason we stopped or some reason we've taken a step back, and we need somebody in our life to say, hey, remember what you set out to do. Remember that you were trying to please God. Don't stop. And when we get discouraged, as we will, we need somebody to say, hey, look, you're not in this alone. You can do it. Just forget about the failures, forget about the ground that you've lost, just pick yourself up and keep going. And so make yourself accountable. Don't get discouraged. Number five, don't get satisfied. You're keeping track of your progress and you say, man, look at how far I've come. Now that's good that you've come far, but be like Paul. I haven't arrived yet. I haven't apprehended. I've not got to where I need to be yet. Because if you get satisfied, you'll stop. If you get satisfied, you'll slow down. You won't need to continue to make the progress. I know people that, Aubrey was famous, my boss, the guy I used to work for. He made himself accountable to me for his Bible reading. And he would get ahead. And he would say, I'd come in, I said, Aubrey, how are you doing on your Bible reading? He says, I'm already in the New Testament. And he was only supposed to be in the Minor Prophets. He says, I'm ahead. I said, well, that's good. Did you read any this morning? He said, well, no, I didn't need to read any this morning. I'm ahead. I said, no. There's going to be time. You chose not to read this morning. There'll be times when you can't read because of things you have to do. So don't get, if you get ahead of the goal, that's not a reason to stop. That's not a reason to slow down. Go ahead and go all the way. Go ahead and get it done. Celebrate on the run. Don't stop and celebrate. Just celebrate as you're still making progress. Don't get satisfied being almost there, because you'll slow down. We will. We'll slow down and we'll stop. And then number six, keep an eye on the goal. Keep in your mind that vision where you want to get, that thing that you want to accomplish. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." It's like Brother Leonard testified a moment ago. We need to keep our eye on the Savior. We need to keep our eye on Him, because it's Him we're trying to please. You see, and I'm going to say something. I want you to listen very, very closely. Very, very closely. I don't care how many we have in church. I don't care what our offerings are. You say, "Preacher, you don't care how many we have. You don't care how what our I don't care how many people are saved." You say, "Preacher, you don't care how many people are saved." No, I don't care about the numbers. What I care about, are we pleasing God? Now, I think it would be pleasing to Him if the church grows. But I think we could grow a lot in ways that would not be pleasing to Him. I mean, I could get up and start preaching, "Hey, you can live any way you want, and that's okay with God." It might cause more people to stay. Believe it or not, there are some people that don't like the way I preach, and they leave. I'm not going to change, because I think what we're doing is—I'm not trying to get a crowd. I'm trying to please God. So I don't—I mean, I don't—I mean, I care about the numbers, but I don't really care about the numbers. What I care most of all is: am I pleasing God? Am I doing things that, in a way that would be pleasing to Him? In the same way, when you set something, to be a better Christian, to be a better husband, to be a better wife, for us to be a better church. The goal in itself is not what's important. What's important, are we pleasing Him? Are we pleasing Him? That ought to be our objective. Are we pleasing Him? And again, please, you know, if you've tuned out, tune back in. I care about how many we have, and I care about how many people get saved, and I care about meeting the budget. But those things are just milestones along the way. What's really important is, have we got our eyes on Christ, and are we becoming more like Him, and are we pleasing Him? That's what's important. So we need to keep our eyes on Him. We need to keep our eyes on Him. Brother Leonard testified, and we've seen it. All of you have seen it. You've been in churches that have enjoyed the blessings of God, and people took their eyes off Christ, and the church fell apart. Fell apart. And when we take our eyes off of Him and put them on other people, we put them on things of the world, we put them on even good things, the things that the world would say was good, and we take our eyes off Him, we're in trouble. So keep your eyes on Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for tonight. Thank You for the wisdom of this book. And I pray that our desire would be to please You in everything that we do. I pray, Father, that we would set some goals for our lives as individuals, for the lives of our family, for our church. That we would set some things before ourselves in 2009, things that would be pleasing to You. And we do our best to accomplish those things. Not, again, to accomplish them to say that we accomplished them, but so that we could say we tried to please You in reaching new heights. And I pray, Father, that, again, You would speak to our hearts. You would help us set our goals. You would help us set set our vision for what You want us to be in 2009. And we do our best to accomplish it. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ, again, the way that they can please You the most is to ask Jesus to be their Savior. And I pray if there's just one here tonight that's never done that, that they would see their sin, they would see the penalty for that sin, and they would see the one who died to pay the price of their sin, and they'd come tonight, and they'd ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.